Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Kristen from Williamsburg, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.
I'm so tired of playing with this bow and arrow.
All this summer on the show, we've been looking back at some of the remarkable music that was released between May and September of 1994, 20 years ago. Up next in the series, the debut album from the English band Portishead. The record was called Dummy. Even though there was a bumper crop of great albums released in that summer of 94, Portishead's debut still stands out as one of the most unusual and most influential. And joining me to talk about Dummy is our frequent guest, Chris Melanfi. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. How are you?
So we're listening to Glory Box.
Right.
This is the closing track on the record. Is this a good reminder of why this album is so important?
I'd say so. I mean, this song in particular has had a really strong legacy. It's appeared in any number of movies over the years. It's one of the most signature songs, if not the signature song of Dummy, the album by Portishead, mm-hmm. which came out in 1994.
Now, people listening carefully might think we were playing this from vinyl because there's some surface noise, but that is, in fact, part of the sound of the song.
Absolutely. In fact, Jeff Barrow, one of the co-founders of Portishead, the band, would sometimes even transfer stuff that wasn't originally on vinyl back to vinyl just so he could scratch it for the surface noise and the ability to manipulate it. So, yeah, this is a band that loved that deep, thick sound.
Yeah, and also the kind of anachronistic, the creative anachronism of hearing the snap, crackle, and pop of an old LP on a brand new record.
Absolutely.
And so Portishead becomes synonymous with a style that comes to be known as trip-hop. What is trip-hop?
Trip-hop is kind of a bastard genre that melds together a number of different strains, and it's pretty resolutely British, even though some American acts mm-hmm. eventually picked up on it. It's a down-tempo sort of breakbeat and sample-based post-hip-hop music based largely in the city of Bristol in England. What makes Bristol kind of an important locus for the movement is Bristol was an interesting city that had a hip-hop scene. It had a dub reggae scene. They were used to down-tempo beats. And so they were kind of taking American hip-hop, obviously a U.S. invention, and kind of reinventing it in their own image. There are a couple important records that predate
yes.
Dummy that are vital to the formation of this genre. Most notably, Blue Lines, an album that came out in 1991 by the band Massive Attack, which basically was very revolutionary for the time. It was kind of a dance album, kind of a hip-hop informed album, but, you know, very mellow, slower grooves, you know, not afraid to chill out.
Right.
And Jeff Barrow, one of the co-founders of Portishead, actually was one of the co-creators or engineers on that album. Not a primary, but in the background.
So a very incestuous little scene there in Bristol because, you know, the holy trinity of trip-hop would come to be Portishead, Massive Attack, and Tricky.
Exactly.
Who comes out of Massive Attack.
That's right. So all three of these acts yeah. kind of overlapped with each other. That's right.
So although trip-hop, although Massive Attack and trip-hop to an extent predate Portishead's record Dummy, this becomes the Sgt. Pepper of the movement.
Exactly. I like to say that, you know, there are always albums that are not the first of something, but they are the signature of something or the premier version of something, the popularizer, right? So Sgt. Pepper is not the first concept album, but it's the thing that popularized the idea of the concept album.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, Dummy is not the first trip-hop album or even the first album that sounded entirely like this, but it's definitely, if you say trip-hop to somebody, they're going to think of Dummy, and it's probably the most popular.
And they're probably going to think of this song, which became a hit on both sides of the Atlantic. From the band Portishead, this is Sour Times.
To pretend one can find the fantasies and morning rose will be free. Nobody loves me. It's true.
Sour Times, hit song from the album Dummy by the British band Portishead 20 years ago. And, you know, I suppose, Chris, if you had never seen the video for that song,
right,
just listening to that clip of the song, you would expect something noirish, you know, underworld, spy, assassin, thriller kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And that's what you get.
And that's exactly what you get. And if you watch the music video, that is precisely what you get. It's a very cinematic song. It's based around a sample of a Lalo Schifrin track, not the thing he's most famous for, the Mission Impossible theme,
right,
but a piece of incidental music from Mission Impossible that Lalo Schifrin composed.
So that's the sample,
exactly,
that we hear underneath.
Exactly.
And the video is, by the way, on our website at soundcheck.org, so check it out if you're not familiar with it.
That's right. And it actually, believe it or not, all of the bits of the video come from a short film that Portishead made just before the album came out called To Kill a Dead Man. To this day, if you buy the CD of Dummy, you'll see in the corner a very small recreation of a poster for a movie called To Kill a Dead Man. To Kill a Dead Man is an 11-minute film. It's not even very long. I don't think it got a formal theatrical release. But it sets the template for everything Portishead did, because it's like an assassination thriller. It's wordless. It's very evocative. It's very noir. Mm-hmm. And all of the scenes, including the cover of the album, by the way. The cover of the album is a still of lead singer Beth Gibbons from the To Kill a Dead Man movie and subsequently the Sour Times music video.
Chris Melanfi is with us on Soundcheck, pop chart columnist, contributor to Pitchfork and Slate, and a frequent guest in the Soundcheck studio. We're looking back at another of the great records of the summer of 94, Dummy, released by the English band Portishead 20 years ago. And how successful was this record?
It was very successful, but over a long, slow period. It made waves in the UK after just a few months, and it started to pick up a buzz in America over the winter of 1995. So I remember the first time I heard Sour Times on the radio was something like January or February of 1995, and it actually made our Hot 100. It got as high as number 53 on the Modern Rock chart, chart you and I were talking about earlier this summer. It actually made the top five. So mm-hmm. It was a pretty serious radio hit in America. The album ultimately went gold in America in 1997. It sold platinum level by the mid-2000s, so it kind of became a real word-of-mouth album. In America, it's sold more than 1.1 million copies at this point, and it's double platinum in the UK.
Now, that summer of 94, as we've already discussed on Soundcheck this summer, saw Park Life by Blur.
Right.
Definitely Maybe by Oasis.
Right.
You had albums by Pulp and Suede and PJ Harvey.
Uh-huh. Peak of Britpop.
And yet it was this record that won the Mercury Prize.
That's right. It defeated a murderer's row of great mid-90s UK albums, including for that year it was up against Oasis's Different Class and PJ Harvey's To Bring You My Love and Tricky's Maxine Quay, which is actually a 95 record but was in the same pool of competitors, and Dummy beat them all.
So who are these people? You mentioned they come from Bristol.
That's right.
Who is Portishead?
All right, so Jeff Barrow is the co-founder, and he's the primary instrumentalist. The band is actually named for a coastal town, Portishead, near Bristol, where he lived as a teenager. He is a perfectionist and a studio creature, and he hates playing live, although they have played mm-hmm. live. And he is all about sort of the craft and the sound. As I said before, he will manipulate sounds any which way, and he's been quoted in many interviews saying that he aims not to repeat himself. If you buy the two subsequent Portishead albums, there have only been three thus far, you'll hear that each one gradually deconstructs the sound even further. Then the other co-founder is Beth Gibbons. She's the singer. She's painfully shy. She's known to avoid interviews. I think I track down maybe one actual interview with her. She'll like frequently hide behind cases on stage. Has a beautiful voice. She's
very torchy, kind of
torchy. But what's great about her too is she's versatile. Like mm-hmm. she can have a baby doll kittenish voice in one track. She can sound like Sade in another track. So she can go from throaty to almost inflected, almost poppy on some tracks. The only other primary member, he's kind of the addendum to the group, is Adrian Utley, who's a guitarist and keyboardist. He was with the Jazz Messengers, and he's kind of a quiet MVP on the record. He plays guitar, and he's very, very talented.
Well, one of the sounds that really struck listeners when they first heard Dummy 20 years ago was the sound of Beth Gibbons' voice. And this is the song we first heard it on. This is the lead-off track from the Portishead record Dummy. It's called Mysterons. Mysterons, the song lead-off cut from the album Dummy by the British band Portishead, released 20 years ago this summer. Chris, I got to say, the opening 20 seconds of this record, when you think about it, when you parse that, it's remarkable. You've got the turntable scratching, so you're referencing hip-hop.
Right
but
away.
You've got this brooding kind of synth thing going underneath.
Yep.
And then this audio sleight of hand, where what sounds like a female voice comes in, and is then revealed when it goes higher to not be a human voice at all, and only then does the singer actually come in.
Exactly. I mean, it's almost a sampler in the very first track, in the very first 30 seconds of what you're going to get on the rest of the album. It's a little bit of everything. It's a wonderful mishmash. You know, by the way, you hear the sound of what sounds like a theremin on that record. It's actually a synthesizer tuned to sound like a theremin, but it's got that spooky sound, and as we've discussed frequently on Soundtrack, you know, the theremin is famous for, you know, movie scores and, you know, that spooky sound. You hear it and that's immediately what you think of. And then, yeah, Beth's voice is this kind of precious jewel coming in. It's really right from the start, you know what you're going to get with this album.
Yeah. And the album, 20 years on, is now being reissued on vinyl.
Yeah.
Which somehow seems appropriate. Although, regarding the reissue of the album, Jeff Barrow, the primary force behind the band, told Rolling Stone magazine, and I'll quote here,
sure,
"Special editions have been a dirty word because they've just basically been a tool of the industry to try and squeeze more money out of the fan or the music buyer. We would only do that if we were maybe forced into it by some label contractual thing." Do you think Portishead were forced into doing this?
I don't know. I have a hard time believing Portishead have ever been forced into doing much of anything. I mean, they have taken, you know, whole decades between albums. So if they finally are reissuing the album on vinyl, it's probably because they decided it was time. Goodness knows the album has a great legacy, and releasing it on vinyl makes a lot of sense.
Why do you think the album appealed to a good number of people at first and then an even exponentially larger number of people over the years?
You know, as long as we're talking about cynical things Jeff Barrow has said, I mean, he once said that, you know, we never considered ourselves trip-hop. We've got nothing to do with the music that was spawned by these acts. And, you know, we ended up being listened to by England's, quote, middle-class housewives, the fondue set. You know, he almost hated the reputation that Dummy gave them, you know, and he and Beth Gibbons worked to distance themselves from it forevermore. But the fact is, it connected with people. It was romantic in a way that people had never heard before. I mean, if you think about where we were at in 1994, you know, hip-hop had already gone through a couple of phases.
Mm-hmm.
And now along comes this music that's entirely hip-hop informed, using many of the same techniques, yet it's brooding, it's romantic, it's dark, it's emotional in ways that hip-hop hadn't quite done previously. You'd heard it in certain rap songs, but it was kind of a new breed. And since then, you've heard this album and what it has wrought absorbed into hip hop itself. When you hear a dark track from Kanye West or The Weeknd, you know, you're definitely hearing elements of that emo trip hop vibe from Portishead coming through, you know, 20 years later. Mm-hmm. So it's got long legs.
And 20 years ago, if you were into Sade, it wasn't such a big leap to some of the ballads on this record.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, whatever Jeff and the band think of it, it is really good, you know, atmosphere music, boudoir music. Here in New York City, if you walk into a restaurant, there's still a pretty good chance you're going to hear it playing. It's very evocative music.
The album is Dummy by Portishead, and this track is called It Could Be Sweet. Song It Could Be Sweet from the band Portishead from their now 20-year-old album called Dummy, released in the summer of 94, 20 years ago. Chris Melanfi, looking back at this record as part of our summer-long 20th anniversary retrospective of what was, Chris, a pretty awesome summer music.
It really was, yeah. And, you know, when you think of this one kind of capping it off, coming out in August and taking us into the fall and winter, I mean, it really does cap a great roster of albums.
And it takes us further than that because it seems to spawn a host of imitators. I mean, we mentioned the big three of trip-hop, you know, Tricky, Massive Attack,
right,
and this band, Portishead. But, you know, they sort of sprout like mushrooms after a storm once Dummy comes.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, whether it was, you know, the really good acts like Tricky, you know, who became more popular as a result of Dummy's success, or it's kind of like these more poppy imitators, the Sneaker Pimps or Hoover Phonic. You know, you had like kind of poppy bands that took the trip hop into a different direction, like Olive and so forth. Like, it definitely, if there was a period in the mid-90s where you sort of felt like this was the, you know, atmosphere of, you know, retail stores, restaurants, cafes, you know, it still has tentacles, you know, even into today. I mean, whenever you hear sort of a down-tempo beat, you know, on a dance record or a hip-hop record, there are elements of Dummy and of Portishead even in that. So it's definitely got a legacy.
And, you know, one of my favorite songs of that decade, Teardrop by Massive Attack,
sure,
from their album Mezzanine, very close to what we just heard from Portishead's Dummy. And, of course, that would become a huge cultural phenomenon when it was absorbed into the TV making machine as the theme from the show House.
House, exactly. So, yeah, you know, you're still hearing these sounds, even if you don't know you're hearing it.
Right,
you're hearing
right.
The footprints of Dummy.
So,
to this day.
House aside, what happens to trip hop once we get in further into the 90s and into the
trip hop really
aughts?
Yeah, trip hop really gets absorbed pretty quickly and metabolized and sort of infiltrates dance music in Britain. You know, all sorts of other subgenres of dance come and go, like jungle and thereafter. And you know, in America, we absorb some of these sounds into hip hop, and you know, now if you're hearing dance music. I mean, there are records on the radio right now. There's a Kaiser song called Hideaway right now that, for all the world, reminds me of Portishead. It's got, you know, the down-tempo beat combined with, an up-tempo vocal. It's basically gotten deeper into the culture and metabolized into the culture.
And Dummy, how does it hold up 20 years later?
You know, I've been listening to this album nonstop for the last couple of days preparing for this segment, and I must say I don't get sick of it. It just really is extremely durable, and despite, you know, years of overplay both in public and private settings, it's a pretty great record.
Portishead's Dummy was released 20 years ago in 1994. Chris Melanfi, pop chart columnist and contributor to Pitchfork and Slate, is a frequent guest here on Soundcheck, and has joined us to look back at this great old album from this British trio/quartet. Chris, great to see you again. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John.
Ooh, can't anybody see?
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.